A church without discipleship is just a gathering. Welcome to the Disciple Making in Community podcast with Ken Braddy, where we believe that discipleship happens best in the context of a smaller group. This podcast is an ongoing conversation with church leaders and ministry experts that focuses on important issues in disciple making through ongoing Bible study groups. I am your host, Ken Braddy. I'm Lifeway's Director of Sunday School. I'm also a group leader at my church, an author, a blogger. You can follow me at Ken Braddy, BRADDY.com. And I regularly release posts there a couple times a week on group ministry. I've been a discipleship pastor at three wonderful churches. I've been a 30-year or more champion of disciple making through ongoing groups in the local church. Love what I get to do. So thanks for listening to the podcast. This podcast is released in seasons, with seven episodes per season all around a central topic. So kind of think Netflix. And we approached that topic for the season seven times, but from different angles and with different guests who will share their wisdom. Seasons 1, 2, 3 are available right now on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast, and really about anywhere you can sign up for them. Season 1 focused on the importance of onboarding brand new group leaders. That's so important in the church. Season number 2 focused on the importance of starting new groups, which is also mission critical for the church. And now in season 3, our current season, we're focusing on training group leaders. So today's episode is episode 6 of season 3. We're almost to the end. This is our next to the last episode where we're going to focus on student ministry training, training those leaders that are meeting with our teenagers in the church. So I like to live by the philosophy that none of us is as smart as all of us. The Bible says that with many advisors, plans succeed. For lack of counsel, they fail. And so I love to invite guests to be on the podcast every episode, and we get to hear from them about what they say about their particular topic. So today, my first guest is Chad Higgins. Chad serves as the co-founder at Youth Ministry Booster and the parent ministry specialist at Lifeway Students. He lives in Stillwater, Oklahoma with his wife, Martha, and his daughter. Is it Malia, Chad? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah,
Malia, pretty name. Chad has served the local church for 20 years, leading student ministry, adult discipleship, and as a campus pastor at different times. He enjoys the Red Sox. Sorry to hear that you don't enjoy the Rangers. We're doing pretty good in the series right now. Not bad. And competitive chess. So I'll make a mental note here. I will not play you in chess because that is not my bag and you would take me apart like a little cheap watch. And it also says you like a little bit of sushi. What does that mean? You like a little bit of sushi?
I mean, quantity is really relative, but you know, if it's out there, I won't turn it down.
Okay. Well, there you go. So I'll remember the next time I see you somewhere, we're together for a meeting or something, we may go out and find us a little bit of sushi.
I would love that.
Hey, my second guest is Corey Liebram. Corey is the youth and family ministry specialist on the discipleship team with the Baptist General Convention of Texas. He has been with Texas Baptist since March of 2021 after serving 21 years in youth and family ministry in the local church. Corey loves the Dallas Mavs, so do I, and spending time with his family, but not necessarily in that order, he says. His wife, Rachel, is a pediatric ICU nurse. I bet you that keeps her busy. And they've got two, he says, amazing kids, Owen 9 and Ella 7. Corey, welcome aboard. Thanks for being here today. So glad you're both here for this episode. We're going to talk about student ministry training, and I'm just going to jump right in with the first of several questions for you guys. And the first question is this: you know, when you think about student ministry, man, what a changed landscape that is. I was my first job in ministry back in 1992 was to be an education pastor / student pastor. And so my wife and I had that privilege of, you know, shepherding a group of students at our little fledgling mission church in Mansfield, Texas. And Corey, I almost don't recognize the student ministry landscape. It's just changed. And Chad, I can't even imagine what you've seen over the years. So can you tell us, guys, what are some hot topics that student ministry group leaders, they need to be thinking through to be better equipped to serve, you know, this generation of students and the students that are facing an ever-changing culture out there in our country, in their schools and whatnot. So talk about some hot topics, guys. Corey, let me come to you first. What do you see out there that, you know, really should be on the radar of group leaders to be pretty conversant in?
Yeah, I think an obvious one that I thought about was just the idea of anxiety and mental health. I think our youth leaders need to have just a concept. You know, we all were teenagers, but none of us have been teenagers in 2023. Mm-hmm. And so I think we pull from our experience as teenagers, we pull from our own experience. Some of us have, as having kids, having been in youth ministry, but just the dynamic that's different about the day and age we live in with the stresses that they face. And thankfully, we live in a time where, you know, it's acceptable for them to get help for that. Yeah. There has been times in the past where it's, you know, let's just pray about it and get over it. And so I think youth leaders need to know what students are going through as far as their anxiety and their mental health.
Yeah, that's really good. We see that a lot. And we hear that a lot from youth pastors that are looking at their students going, man, they're unbelievably stressed, which leads into all kinds of different things, right? Depression, many different mental health things that I think when we start to talk about training leaders, I would say they're obviously aware of that, but helping them see like what are those like indicators that we need to be looking out for to like connect with mom and dad of like, hey, we're seeing this inside of group and it may be time to, you know, look for some help or at least to address it in the home. One of the things that I would add to that of like a hot topic, and Ken, you alluded to it a little bit, of just the changing of environments. Relationships are done so much different today than when we were students. And I mean specifically of like group communication. For many students, right, like most of their conversations with even their closest friends aren't necessarily happening audio and face-to-face.
Right.
So many of their really close friends, their communication's done over text and things like this. And they'll even have friends that aren't even in their same town, right? Like they may have a group of buddies that they game with that they literally talk to over mics playing a game every single night that they've never met this person face to face. And yet they would consider them some of their best friends. And so I think helping our group leaders become knowledgeable about the way that students communicate, that some of the same old tricks that we've used in the past of, you know, you throw out a question in a group of students, you know, I remember the old thing was, you know, begin to count in your head. Mm. Well, you may be counting for a while more than you do in the past because students process things much differently. And so, you know, I think one of the things when we start to talk about like helping have better communication in group is creating space and time and margin for students to begin to process, whether it's through writing or contemplation, that then they can get to a place of getting comfortable of talking in a group. You know, some of the training that we've been doing with leaders lately is helping them identify that, helping them give space inside of their groups to have better conversations, and being aware that for many students, to go back to that anxiety, this asking to talk in a group ramps up that anxiety a lot when they're not used to having conversations face to face and they don't trust the people in that group, right? They live in a culture that very much is this like cancel culture that if I say something wrong here, I'm going to get put on blast. And that's very scary for many students.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, some great points, some great issues that you have just raised. And that doesn't hardly, guys, even scratch the surface, does it? So
no.
So many things that a student leader would need to be trained on to be completely effective, you know, in student ministry. So other hot topics, you've mentioned the communication and whatnot. So is there another one out there that you would say, you know, if I was going to train group leaders, I definitely, we're going to address that because that's definitely in the world of my kids these days.
You know, this one isn't so, you know, salacious or anything like that, but I feel like just basic, how do you teach the Bible? I know that we, coming out of COVID, you know, we all saw the great resignation of volunteer leaders. And, you know, I'll stand in front of a group of youth leaders and say, okay, tell me how many years you guys have been teaching. And it's less than two. A lot of the rooms, this is their first time to ever teach or lead a small group. And which is kind of exciting because some of these topics that we're talking about, they're more open to receiving that and saying, oh, they don't know there's another way, like Chad was talking about. You know, that's not going to work the old way that you do this. And so it's almost like it's this brand new palette that we can go in. But I think sometimes I think we need to start with those basics of this is what it means for you to study the scripture. This is what it means for how students will interpret that and take that in. Then you get into kind of what Chad was talking about with even learning styles and how they are learning those things. So I think just those basic understanding as pastors and ministry leaders, sometimes we take that for granted, like, oh, well,
everybody knows that. Everybody knows how to do that. Right. And they don't. Yeah.
Sure.
No, that's great. That's good. Well, guys, think about, you know, this ideal world of student ministry training. And do you have a recommendation for the folks that are listening today about frequency? I know, you know, student ministry leaders, church leaders in general, volunteers, you know, lay leaders are busy people, some of the busiest in the church, right? They're busy during the week. They go that extra mile. They volunteer to teach or lead a group Sunday mornings, or maybe they're in the middle of it on a Wednesday night serving, but they still need training. So do you have a preference, like a personal preference that you guys would say, yeah, if I was a local church leader, I would train with this kind of a rhythm? And then I guess a follow-up question is, as you talk with and interact with other church leaders that are in student ministry, what do you see going on? What is the frequency of training and, you know, the average SBC church out there? What do you think?
Well, so there's a lot to that question. I think I'll start from the back end of it. Frequency, I think that question probably depends on size a little bit.
Okay, so unpack
I think
that.
In a lot of student ministries, specifically, you know, when we start to talk on a podcast, I think the tendency is always to think about maybe a little, you know, maybe a little bit larger student ministry or church, and oftentimes we think of training in that, right? Like this big group gathering, you know what I mean, of all of your leaders. But for so many youth pastors and great youth ministers out there, you know, they're leading in, you know, smaller settings with smaller, you know, groups where they, you know, they've got, you know, three to four other leaders.
Yes.
And probably one of them is their spouse.
That's right.
Right. And so like calling this like big meeting gathering, you know what I mean? Yeah. That it's like your spouse and then like the couple that's in the church that's also like your best friend.
Yes.
You know what
that's
I mean?
Right.
Like that looks very different.
Yeah.
And so I think when you start to look at the majority of our churches and their leaders, I think frequency looks a little bit different. And I think sometimes some of those smaller churches with smaller leader groups shy away from formal training, but I think the people around them are looking for help. I think it does need to look a little bit different than like your, you know, we're going to put tablecloths out,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the church lobby type of thing. It's done in this very relational way. And so I think so much of student ministry is about relationships. And one of the things that I always talk about with training leaders is you are modeling for them some of the best tendencies that you want to see them engage with the students around them. And so in the same way that you are modeling training to them, they're training students. And so the opportunity to gather and intentionally have coffee or lunch, but not neglect just following up and catching up, but giving them tidbits, giving them information, pointing them to added resources for themselves can be so, so vital. One of the like simple things that we began to do in as far as a rhythm, along with our training stuff, is every single week, we would set expectations for our leaders. So there would be a Wednesday night pre-gathering. We would huddle up with all of our leaders and we would talk through like, here are our goals for tonight. And here are simple questions that we want you to engage with students. And sometimes they were just fun of like, did you go to the homecoming dance? But I, for many leaders, you forget what it was like to enter into a teenage world. And that can be intimidating for new leaders.
Very true.
So giving them the ammo of, hey, here's the first softball question to begin to ask. What it also allowed us to do is at the end of our night to rally back up and just say, hey, what did you hear tonight? It allows us to get on the same team of ministering together, of all knowing our students. Hey, here's what's going on. Here's follow-up that needs to happen this week. Hey, all the kids were talking about this soccer game that's coming up. Let's make sure that we have, you know, a presence there this week, because apparently a lot of them are going to be there, all of that kind of stuff. And so we're able to do some of those things. I would say too, of frequency of training, helping leaders connect with on the go, right? Like things like this podcast or, you know, other podcasts or training videos are amazing to be able to like send in text messages, and just to connect with leaders as they go to their learning and growing themselves.
That's a really good insight. Would you say, Chad, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but are the days of, you know, hey, everybody come to the church, let's do something formal, has that model waned a little bit in favor of more nimble pivot, you know, something you can pivot and do pretty quick, like you're suggesting here? Send that text, send that link, these little bursts here and there. So we don't have to think about training as tablecloths and PowerPoints, but it's other things besides that.
I don't think it has to go by any means. And one of the things that I would always encourage leaders is know yourself and know your people, right? Like if that is your wheelhouse and that's how your people engage, then that's exactly what you need to do. Yeah. You know, I think one of the pitfalls in leadership is we start listening to communicators speaking at a national level or state level, and we start to try to just, you know, copy and paste what everyone else is doing instead of fine tuning and understanding who are my people, how do they engage? Yeah. And part of that is just knowing like rhythms and schedules. One of the things that I would say about the older model is if it's done, it needs to be done in a way that is like life-giving and fun, specifically in student ministry, children's ministry. The people that are volunteering to be a part and to be on volunteer leadership teams of these, like they want to hang out with students. Like, does that make sense? Like,
it does.
There's a little bit of their personality that's tied up into that. Yeah. And so like knowing that that's the type of person that would like be drawn to serving in student ministry, then you want to have a training that speaks that same language in the same way, right? Like if we're talking adult discipleship and you know that the majority of your leaders are maybe like, you know, a little bit older generation, trying to like have them figure out like this TikTok video that you're going to send them may miss.
Right.
Yeah. And so there's going to be different times for different ways. And I would just say that if you're having those formal gatherings, to be thoughtful in, we want to help connect these people with more than just information,
yes,
but we want to help them get connected to each other, to have a great time, to realize that for many of our leaders, they have little kids. So what does that mean for their family? Like, what are they giving up to be at another thing. And I think that we've got to be aware of those things when it comes to training.
Yeah. Corey, you're all over the state of Texas, and you see you're in and out of churches of all, you know, shapes and sizes. What are you seeing out there in the world of student ministry training, frequency, you know, yearly, quarterly, monthly? Is there anything that you could say, well, that's pretty much the standard these days, or is it just contextualized and it's just really all over the map?
Yeah, I think it's all over the map. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, the, as far as the frequency, I would say as frequent as you could make it. If you're in a situation where you can do, like those coaching situations where they meet 10 minutes before and hang out 10 minutes after, like Chad was describing, you can do that on a weekly basis, then go for it. If it's a situation where they can't give you that much time and, but can meet with you on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis, you know, for me, what I'm seeing is youth leaders are doing it, not necessarily to accommodate their volunteers, but to make it the easiest for them to say yes. Thinking about around meals, thinking about it, thinking about childcare, making sure that's provided. But you know, overall, just trying to find a time where they can get together. You know, I think there needs to be a time, if it's possible, even in person. We saw the effects of COVID and shutdowns and people not being together. And at least in my experience, the youth leaders, that was their quote Sunday school class. And they may have been connected with another small group somewhere else, but the group of adult leaders that they were around were other small group leaders. And so as the youth minister or a pastor in a church that says, well, we need to get these youth leaders or children's leaders or whoever together, because that this is the only community they're going to have. And so, you know, I would agree with Chad to make it fun, you know, especially for those groups. There's a youth pastor here in Texas who he doesn't call them trainings. He doesn't call them gatherings. He calls it, youth worker wingding. And they do it once a quarter, and they theme it. And then the last one they did was an 80s night. And, so everybody dressed like that.
I've still got clothes, by the way, that I could wear to that.
Well, his is a lot like what Chad said, is kind of, hey, these are people that work with teenagers, and we're putting all of our effort into, let's create this great event for teenagers to come. We should be doing that even more so for the adults, for them to come, and value them and model that for them. So I think whenever you can get people to show up, take that advantage of that, be able to, you know, give them information about what's happening in your church and youth ministry, give them some training to help them as they teach and lead a small group, and then provide for them in community and spiritually to take care of them and what God is doing in their personal life.
Feels like that if you did that, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm on a team that's doing that, why would I want to ever leave that team? You know, I'm experiencing great ministry. I'm using my giftedness. I'm having fun. I'm connecting with other adults. And when it comes time to re-up, do I want to go another year with this team and these friends? Of course I do. It feels like that would do nothing but reduce turnover, provide stability. It would make my job as a group leader for students much, much better. And it feels like from a leadership standpoint, if I'm the pastor or the student pastor, man, what a great philosophy to have to provide that stability of leaders. And it, Corey, I mean, this is a simple thing, but what a profound thing y'all have just uncovered in the world of student ministry. I think you're right. I think you're onto something. It's relationship. And
one of the other things that I'd add to that too, that they were doing, it's not necessarily training, but it's care for your leaders, is we had a lot of leaders that had small kids, right? That age demographic, you find a lot serving in student ministry.
Yes.
There are nights that you will do fun stuff for the students. incorporating like 30 minutes before or 30 minutes after that is like solely leader kid time, that you tell your volunteer leaders, hey, we're having a big inflatable night at the church, right? With our students, maybe like a fall kickoff or something like that. We've already got the inflatables rented. After we're done, 30 minutes before we really wrap up shop, if your kids want to come in and play, like you can create space. It's no more extra work.
That's right.
For you or your team.
And no extra expense.
And it's a huge win for them. And the ability to care for their kids as they serve is such a good move for you as a minister to really love and care for your people well.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, guys, when I was doing student ministry and we do these dreadful things called lockouts.
Yeah.
You know, we'd be out all night long and my kids were young and, you know, they'd had a hard time to, you know, make it through the night. You know, they couldn't stay up all night with the adults and the students. Right. But, you know, my kids were always allowed to come to those things. They ran around and, you know, hung out with some of the students. And the students loved having them around. And so did our workers. They brought their kids. And we just, hey, you know, if you want to go do putt-putt golf with us, come go. You want to do some go-karts, I'll drive. You know, and we tried to make it inclusive for our group leaders and their kids. So Chad, man, I'm with you. I think that's a great thing to do, to serve and to minister to, and to appreciate at some level, you know, those people that are pouring their lives into the students. Are y'all seeing any trends on days and times of training, or is that also all over the map? Cause you know, back in the day, Saturday mornings was like the time I always got invited to do training, or if I'm doing training for my workers, I did it on a Saturday morning. And now, guys, there's no way I could pull that off. Saturdays are now at the people at ball fields. They're off, you know, for the weekend. They're at grandma's or whatever. And I don't see that as a great option, at least in adult ministry these days. But do y'all see anything in student ministry that would say, you know, out of all the churches you're aware of, this day or these days or these times seem to be the times when most people in student ministry are gathering to do things? What are y'all seeing, if anything?
We're actually still doing some trainings on Saturday mornings in Texas. Yeah. And it really matters like where we do it, depending on the community and the training that we're doing through what we call Discipleship Collective, is training children, youth, and adult leaders. And really we'll talk to those leaders, the association, the churches, say, hey, when's the best time? And some of them still say, if you do it early enough on Saturday morning, and especially these people have never received training and they're kind of hungry for that. Ongoing, I think that would be difficult to do it on Saturday mornings with everything else and young families. For me, it was always easier to say whenever you're there, either before you were coming to church, like for breakfast, or after, you know, providing lunch. But not making them come back for something, at least in the context where I served. Once they went home, they weren't coming back. So if you can work it around a time where they're already on campus and they're there, to me, that was always the most helpful.
Chad, the audience can't see it, but you were nodding. So it looks like you'd say the same thing, right?
Once they're there, not having them come back for another day always seem to work much better for us. Yeah. Right. I mean, specifically if you've got food there afterwards, it's already ready to go. And there's, you know, activities and things like that for their kids as well. That helps families a whole lot, in that. And I think that that's, you know, we alluded to it a little bit. I think that that's why a lot of people have the frequency and rhythm of their ongoing training does seem to be moving more towards the podcast model. I myself, low quality, when I was an adult groups pastor, weekly, I would make a real quick video just on my phone.
Yeah.
I always tried to make those under 2 minutes. They were just like bite-sized stuff that I would just connect. They would see my face and then I would just text it to all of my leaders of like, hey, here's what to be thinking about. Here's a little nugget of wisdom. And those are kind of some of the ongoing things, but gatherings of everybody. Seem to work best around, you know, when they're already there. The one of the rhythms though that we do see a lot is going into the fall, like out of summer, you normally have some onboarding of new leaders at that time. So there may be like a gathering that has to take place in person of just, you know, going over the new semester and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. One of the other trends that I see a lot in student ministry is a Christmas type party that is the gathering of your leaders. I think that those are really fun to be a part of. You'll try to find a time and space that works for those.
Yeah, well. No, that's great advice. So guys, if somebody's listening and they're thinking, you know, we really could do more in this arena to prepare our workers and to do some things, you know, more ongoing, but we don't have a lot going on right now. Where would you advise them to start? You know, how big a bite do you take? How big a first step do you make? You know, so if you want to get things moving and you're going to say, I'm going to take the long approach, and we know that we're going to be in this game for a while. So, you know, what would you say to that person who is intrigued with the idea of providing training and fellowship and camaraderie and encouragement and all those things? What would you say to that person that's wanting to get started?
I would say just start. And, you know, what you know, kind of what Chad talked about, even if it's just a one-on-one coffee conversation, yeah, and just gathering with that one person. You know, we always wanted 100% participation in our trainings. We very seldom got that. But I would not be discouraged on who didn't, yes, show up. I would just be, you know, faithful with those who did. And I think you can plan, we're going to do this and that, and we're going to have this training, and we're going to bring in this person. But just a simple, hey, let's get together and let's talk about what youth ministry looks like for you right now. And if that means you have one or two people that show up for that, then that's one or two people that you have the opportunity to invest in, to pour into, to encourage. And so I know that sounds a little bit simple, but just start something.
Yeah. And never apologize, right? Never say, oh, I'm sorry, we've only got two or three here. You know, I mean, hey, the two or three that came set aside time to be there. And so don't even know that we have to address those that didn't come. We just say, thank you for coming, and move on. Right. We don't want them to feel bad or that they're not worthy of, you know, what we're trying to do. Everybody's not there.
The place I would start, I mean, Corey, you mentioned it for me. I would start with a coffee individually.
Yeah.
If I'm starting from scratch, I would want to go to coffee with every single one of my leaders. And I would want to know this thing first. Why are you wanting to volunteer in student ministry? I think a lot of times when we think about training, equipping leaders, we can become inward focused of our ministry and our goals and our objectives. At some level, those people have decided to volunteer for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing that reason is unbelievably important in the way that you train them and how you can encourage them for longevity in their own leadership. For many people that are looking to volunteer in student ministry, there are a multitude of reasons, but three big reasons. One, they either want to get more connected into the church. So many leaders that I've met over the years, they themselves are wanting to become, to gain friends.
Right.
Specifically with adults, man, there is a epidemic of loneliness, and they're wanting to get connected to their church. They've been told from stage, one of the best ways to get connected is to serve. And so they're like, all right, well, here I am. And so understanding that for them is a big motivator of not necessarily getting to know all the students, but they want to get to know other leaders, staff. And if you know that in the back of your head, you can be wise in making sure that they're connected with some other adult leaders on your team. They're getting known, right? All of those kind of things. Other ones are wanting to grow personally. And so the way that we equip them and train them is not just hot topics and trends on how to connect with students, but it's also helping them grow. And so like shooting resources to them of like, hey, here's a personal study. You talked about this the other day at coffee of, you know, your own anxiety. Man, here's a great book that I would like to, recommend to you and that kind of stuff. And you're helping them grow personally and spiritually as well. You know, great leaders that are filled up growing themselves are always going to be really good leaders in the class, right? Because they're taking students where they're going themselves. And then other leaders in student ministry, let's talk about the reality. Sometimes you have the mom who wants to serve because their kid is not connected. And this is a last ditch effort for mom to make sure their kid's there. Yeah. And so mom's wanting to serve as well. Yeah. So understanding and knowing that up front and forward can help you in the way that you navigate some of those relationships. So as you begin to build a system and strategy of training adult leaders, knowing who you have, knowing their giftedness allows you to know, okay, this is an area that we're proficient at, or this is an area that we need some help in. And so you can begin to train accordingly.
Yeah, so good. That's some really good insights. Corey, go ahead.
Yeah, I would add to that is, you know, I know you talked about enlisting and recruiting in season one, so I'm not going to step on the toes of that. Ahead. But I think from the beginning, the expectation is when you enlist someone and onboard them into your ministry, we're going to be doing ongoing training.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not like, you know, thanks for being here. Here's your curriculum. Good luck. But that we're here to support you and have some expectations. And we expect you to be a part of this. We expect you to do this. We expect you to be a part. You know, it's sad that we have higher expectations in some ways of T-ball coaches and the time commitment that they give to the local sports organizations than we do for those that are teaching the gospel to our next generation.
Yeah.
And I don't think, just like we don't have to apologize for, oh, well, there's only one or two, I'm so sorry. But I don't think we have to apologize for having high expectations for our small group leaders and those that are choosing to teach teenagers and in next gen. So I think from the beginning, just giving those expectations.
We had a 4-6-8 policy. That's what we would tell our leaders. And so when we would do onboarding and we would talk about that a lot, we're asking for 4 hours of your week. So we would want them to show up to their main gathering, their small group, and then basically 1.5 to 2 hours a given week of engaging with students outside of what we did. So we're asking for 4 hours a week. We wanted 6 unique contacts every week, okay, with students. Some weeks it's like the same kid is getting 6 contacts because there's tragedy happening in their life. But on most weeks, and who are 6 students that you're writing a letter to, making a phone call with, seeing outside of our student ministry? And then the 8 was always on our side. Our student ministry was really growing at the time. Okay. Some of our small groups were getting really big and it was overwhelming some of our leaders. And so our commitment to them was 8 students for every leader. And so once your group got to that point, they knew that we were going to begin to multiply that group. And so it was the expectation beforehand of everybody across the board that once we got to that, because sometimes it can be that like, hold on, like, you know, you can't mess up this group kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to set some of those clear expectations.
I love it. Yeah. You probably just changed somebody's ministry out there by mentioning these things, guys. Man, thanks for that. So good. Well, before we go on to the last question, we've got a word from the sponsor of this episode, and that happens to be the Gospel Project, which is a Christ-centered study that is created by Lifeway Christian Resources. That'd be our company. It's a chronological approach to going through the scriptures in a 3-year, we call it a scope and a sequence. We can just call it a Bible study plan if you like. But it's a 3-year march from Genesis all the way through the end of the Bible in Revelation, which really does give people this picture of the grand narrative of Scripture, of how the world was created, man being created, the fall, and then the rest of the Bible tells the story of our redemption. And when I taught this in my adult Bible study group, I was amazed. guys, almost every single week, somebody would say after the study was over, I never understood how that study connected to Christ or to the New Testament or helped me understand. I just thought it was a hodgepodge of stories. They actually are stories that tell basically one big story of God's redemption of man. And so the Gospel Project may be something you want to check out at gospelproject.com. You can download some leader samples, some samples for group members of all ages. And so take a look at that. Well, guys, the last question that I've got is going to be something that I know that you will have some wisdom in, and that is, what resources or resource would you recommend to our listeners to further their training in student ministry? You may have a book, a conference that you say, oh, this is, if you can get to it, this is a must go to conference. Maybe there's a blog out there that you follow, or maybe you're writing, but where would you point people to say, hey, this is something in the evolution of you as a group leader. Try this, read that. What would you say?
So I would say, as far as conference-wise, I'm just going to give a little plug here for what we have here in Texas called Conclave Next Gen. We just had it in October, the 1st of October. So we'll have it again October 7th and 8th next year in San Antonio. And it is a training for youth leaders, for children's ministry leaders, for adult discipleship leaders, but specifically around the area of next gen ministry. We actually have a senior pastors track where they can go and kind of talk with other pastors about how they're addressing these needs. And, you know, it's been going on for over 40 years. Chad actually led a breakout for us at our last one a few weeks ago and did a great job. And so that's one event where that I would say that we have. I know there's also another conclave that meets in Chattanooga in January that is done by the other state conventions along in the South. And that would be, if you're closer to that, I would say that would be a great event to go to as well. You know, I think there's a bunch of events, there's a bunch of blogs, books. But you know, when I was thinking about what resources really are the, not the best, but that are great, is just people that are around you locally. If you're a youth minister in a church or a volunteer, and you know somebody else down the street that is doing a good job with this, whether they're volunteer or full-time or whatever that looks like, I would pick up the phone and call them. If you're a pastor that doesn't have a full-time youth minister, call a church in your town that has a youth ministry that's doing really well. It doesn't have to be a huge youth ministry, but just somewhere there's, you see things are happening. If I had gotten that call as a full-time youth minister, and I did a few times and said, hey, could you help us? There's no doubt I would have dropped everything and said, yeah, I'll help you do, you know, what do you need? How can I help you?
So we have not, because we might not ask not, right? So yeah, don't be afraid to ask.
And you go to one church and they're like, yeah, we can't really help you. Okay, fine. There's a bunch of churches probably in your area that would help you to do that, as well as associations and state conventions that can help you with those resources. And
so good. Yeah, I think there are a lot of guys out there that would be very interested in doing some kingdom work like that, Corey. If they just got that phone call, they'd consider it an honor to be able to invest in another church. Chad, what do you think? Is there something out there you'd point people to?
Man, I, Corey, I'm really not just saying this because you're on this podcast, but the Conclave stuff is really, really good. And what's great too, man, for so many folks, it is drivable, man. You can bring multiple people to that. And so those are really, really great as well. You know, we also work with Youth Pastor Summits that meet all across the country as well. And those are, you know, it's $15 a person to bring. And so we see a lot of youth pastors bringing their entire volunteer teams to those. And those are really, really great to be a part of. And then Youth Ministry Booster is a resource that I would point people to not only for their own training, but for their volunteer leaders as well. That's an element that a lot of people outside of Youth Ministry Booster don't know about, but the people inside utilize it and use it, is we work with different teams every year to create 12 unique leader training videos that are done by really, really great youth pastors in the trenches, for you to be able to send to your volunteers every month for volunteer training. And then we also provide a script for you as the youth pastor to create your own video or to use in a meeting for ongoing training in different areas. And so that's a great resource that many people are utilizing and using in unique ways to train their volunteers.
Definitely sounds like something a student ministry leader ought to check into, Chad. Thanks for mentioning that one. That's great. Well, guys, we're going to wrap up. This has been a long podcast, but man, it has been packed with such great advice and wisdom. So thank you for sharing that. So thanks to Chad Higgins and Corey Liebram for being with us today. And next time we'll wrap up this season with episode 7, as we talk about training adult group leaders. Got a couple of great guys on that one too, just like these fellows. And tune in to that last episode. You'll learn a lot from these final two guests of our season. Well, make sure that you're subscribing to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcast, or anywhere you can find a way to sign up for a podcast. Just search for us. We'll be there. Also, remember to go by gospelproject.com and download some free resources there. Check that out. See if that chronological Christ-centered study might be right for your ministry. Well, thank you again for being a part of this episode number 6 in season number 3 of the Disciple Making and Community Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Brady, and remember, a church without discipleship, it is just a gathering.